This is a CBC podcast.
It may not be a gift, but Saskatchewan MLAs wrapped up their short sitting of the legislature this week. It began with promises from the Premier to do better as government after the election in late October. To put a bow on things, we've reached our political panel. Adam Hunter covers politics for CBC Saskatchewan when he's not hosting the 306, or doing both, as he is this week and next, and Murray Mandrick writes a political column in the Regina Leader Post. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. Good morning.
Adam, what was Scott Moe talking about when he said the government needed to do better?
This was a post-election, even election night message into the throne speech and the start of the small sitting that we had, a 10-day sitting. This was specific to, I think, the message that he heard during the election where they lost a number of ministers in Regina and Saskatoon. And the message in the cities he thought was health and education, both inside the cities and outside of the cities. And affordability was kind of not the third on the list, but the third thing that was mentioned during the throne speech. That was flipped during the campaign where they really focused affordability. Now, they did pass an affordability bill with the support of the opposition, but Mo said that health and education, the message on the doorstep was we need more, and that was what people were upset about, and that's why maybe they didn't get the votes that they were expecting. That also came, I think, with behavior in the House, and it was only 10 days, and I think there was maybe 1 or 2 days where there was heckling was a thing, but the new speaker kind of, he put an end to that. And I think that was one of the messages the government had. Okay, we need to behave better because of what happened in the spring.
Murray, you were recording the first couple days where it was kind of eerily quiet, and then things picked up in terms of a little bit of heckling and so on. How well do you think that the Saskatchewan Party has done on doing better?
House behavior, I'll give them that. They were less annoying, less obnoxious in terms of this. At the end, they were starting to get into more silly points of order and everything else, so they can only stop themselves so much, but less heckling, less other things. Policy-wise, I also think that they were probably doing better, but some ways, if you look at how the last session of the last legislature ended, or how the election campaign went, when the number one priority all of a sudden became kids' change rooms. It's not hard to do better. The better part was basically focusing on the things that, as Adam outlined, affordability, health, education. But here's the, and it's a big but in this particular case, there's too much baggage. And we're dealing with stories of things said and done in the past. We had a whole auditor's report talking about issues that haven't been properly dealt with, like foreign farmland ownership, or the whole Gary Graywall situation, a conflict of interest. The not better part is basically saying, well, we're going to do everything doing everything possible to prevent Mr. Graywall from being accountable for what he did as an MLA, and not dealing with the issue of whether he should be punished or not, and basically not even allowing the opposition a motion to discuss this or bring it forward. That's not better. That's doing the things in the same way you used to. So if you're really doing better, do better. Like, do actually make changes in terms of things of substance that they are working on. And that has to somewhat extend beyond a few policy changes and election promises that you made to have the privilege of running government again. It's got to be a whole holistic thing here. And I don't think I'm seeing better yet. Hopefully we will next session. Be quite frank, I'm not 100% sure we will.
Adam, you had a chance to talk to the Premier yesterday, and I found him to be sounding more statesmanlike, less combative when it comes to conversations with the Prime Minister and other premiers on what the incoming President Donald Trump may or may not do with tariffs. What did you hear from Scott Moe yesterday?
That tone may not have lasted very long, because in the afternoon, he did put out a post on social media saying that there was a betrayal if Trudeau and the Liberal government go through with export taxes on things like potash, oil, and uranium, and that should ring some bells for people in Saskatchewan. Those are three of our major exports and things that drive the economy here. And so that was also posted by Brad Wall and others, Daniel Smith saying a similar thing. And what's been happening over the last couple of days since this meeting with Trudeau, and even leading into the meeting, was we need a united front. And that's the what Scott Moe told me yesterday. And I think he does believe that, but we have premiers all coming and saying a different thing. So they're all saying different things. Wahb Kanu saying, well, we're going to have a list of retaliatory measures. Doug Ford's being very specific about withholding energy exports to the U.S. or different different things. Scott Moe in our conversation said, well, you know, let's not go too crazy. Let's wait and see what happens. I think it's sort of a foregone conclusion that these tariffs are coming the way Donald Trump is talking, the way his incoming government is talking. And so this Team Canada approach isn't working. I will say that Scott Moe didn't, in our conversation, say as much as we heard in the past being critical of the Prime Minister or calling for an election, but he still did call for an election. He still is saying, we need a new leader. We need someone who's got a mandate. This government's been along for more than 4 years. It's time. Call an election. Let's have whoever's elected. So we do have to give a hint of who he thinks might be elected.
Right.
Give a more of a united front and come out and be our negotiator with Trump going forward.
Marie, what do you see for this conversation doing for federal-provincial relations?
You know, when you have a work colleague, friend who goes on and babbles away.
Yeah, but he's right here.
He's right
here,
exactly. I was about to say that you're usually smart enough to say, Murray, quit being an idiot on air. It's the same thing in
politics. I didn't bring my poking stick today.
It's the same thing in politics, though. It doesn't do any good to, at every available opportunity, to point out every stupid thing Justin Trudeau says. For one, it's a full-time job in itself because it's incredibly stupid to be Scott Moe happens to be dead right. The whole notion of taxing potash and uranium and oil is a bad, bad thing. But it's a bad thing to tweet it too. And when you tweet that out, it gives strength to the position of the Americans. And I think Elon Musk and Donald Trump follow Twitter a bit. I think there's an opportunity for them to see this division, see the fact that we seem to be having 10 additional foreign ministers putting forward their position and doing things. If these leaders, sub-nation leaders, as they like to call themselves, can't get together and present that united front, they're going to lose. And I think I truly think that they will, because Donald Trump clearly has the upper hand this term. He's going to very easily blame this, and the American public is going to be very accepting that Canada is our only problem, Mexico's our only problem. We're making America great as being isolationists again. And I think that that's really problematic. Scott Moe actually has a huge amount to offer here. His story about the notion of how our economies are so integrated, if you look how a tractor is manufactured and the parts go back and forth and the implements and everything else that are attached to the tractor go back and forth and some are made in Canada and some are made in the U.S., et cetera. It's a really interesting, compelling story about how integrated our economy is. And that's the story that we need to tell. This little bit of sniping every political opportunity you get is unhelpful. So, like, just ignore your stupid friend for a day or so.
Adam, the opposition had some questions about an award that the premier got this week. What can you tell us about it?
Yeah, then the premier didn't have many answers. He kind of, I think, sidestepped it a bit, saying, you know, I don't really remember, or, you know, this was what happened in June. This came out because the opposition was critical of a trip that Scott Moe made to Toronto with some staff that cost over $10,000 and the hotel bill that came with that. And on one of the nights where he was there, he went to this gala. Blaine Higgs was there, the New Brunswick premier, and they were awarded with some leadership awards from this advocacy group. Now, the NDP frames them as a far-right advocacy group based on what they were promoting, some of the comments that were made at that thing, praising Scott Moe for things like standing with the Freedom Convoy, in someone's words, standing up for, you know, against COVID measures, or, you know, pulling some of those. Also, his leadership against, you know, it's the carbon tax and things like that. So this was where the NDP was coming from. Now, Scott Moe, when he was asked about this, kind of said, you know, I don't really recall getting this award, or, you know, it wasn't a fundraising trip. He's not making much of this. The NDP is saying, you went to Toronto, you spent taxpayers' money, and you used it to fundraise at this event with this group that no one's heard of really out here. So that's where that's kind of coming from. And I think Mo, when he was asked about it, was sort of deflecting and saying, well, I don't think this is a big deal.
Is this a big deal?
I don't know if it's a big deal, but it's one of two things. It was either a fundraising trip because the leader of this concern manufacturers group basically said, hey, isn't it great that Saskatchewan is one of the few provinces where other province people like us can donate to good leaders like Scott Moe, as you should. Sounds like a bit of a fundraising thing to me. It was either that, or it was Scott Moe going there in need of being validated by this particular group. And I don't see how either one of them are particularly productive for Saskatchewan or Scott Moe. Certainly not for Saskatchewan, because they didn't even talk about this award. You know how they basically have a wall full filled with their awards and handshakes and everything else. Wasn't even so much as a press release on this one. So I guess that kind of tells you a little bit about, they did mention that they were meeting with this group, but that's about it. But, you know, delving into what this group was, I don't know if that was necessarily a smart thing to do. If Scott Moe is doing better, as per the theme of this chat, doing better means listening to a broader range of voices and not being so swayed by those that are giving you awards for your silly things on the convoy or maybe some missteps on the unscientific COVID response that everybody else had. I think it was pretty scientific. I think that one of the weakest moments in Scott Moe's political career, perhaps his turning point, was when he walked away from what was a good policy listening to Dr. Shahab. And it's things like that I think he's going to be most remembered for. So I just don't understand this need for him to do this when there's other opportunities to do better things.
Thanks, you guys.
You're welcome.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.